Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation from Atlanta, Georgia. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Real quick, I realize I got a national audience now. In fact, I keep getting emails from different politicians and their handlers in Georgia wanting to come on the program to talk if they're running for office or like. And in the past, I'd do it because I was a Georgia program. And now I know people in Tulsa, for example, they couldn't care less about a candidate running in Georgia. Unless, I mean, if it's the governor of Georgia, I'm happy to have him on. The lieutenant governor in Oklahoma is a friend. I would love to get him on the program. But, I mean, your run-of-the-mill candidate, I gotta figure out that balance. Because I still like to provide that service for people in Georgia. Because I live in Georgia. I like to do this. We're going to have to figure something out. But I say that, though, to make this point. And it is Georgia-specific, but really for the Southeast. I know I've got affiliates in North Carolina and elsewhere as well, in the Southeast and Florida as well. It is nasty in the South. I don't know where y'all are listening, but it is nasty in the Southeast, and particularly in Georgia. A lot of roads are flooding everywhere in the state from north to south. Please be careful if you're on the roads. My kids actually, so my 16-year-old is now driving. Say a prayer. God help me. Oh, boy. And she headed out to school this morning and within 5 minutes called. Christy was telling me that I was sleeping in this morning. I was out late last night. And within 5 minutes of them leaving, my daughter called and Christy said, you just, like, her heart started racing. She got that bad feeling in the pit of her stomach that, oh gosh, something has happened. And she was just saying, it's so bad out there. I can't drive. I'm turning around and coming home. And she wound up coming back and my wife drove them. We had a text message from our school this morning that the roads are so flooded that all tardies will be excused today. Because it's the roads are bad in middle Georgia, but they're bad everywhere in Georgia. It's not just Georgia. There are parts of Florida, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee that are having a lot of flooding from a week of rain. It is messy out there. So wherever you are, please be careful if you're in the Southeast. The rest of you, I don't want to bore you with forecasts from the Southeast, but it's just really messy where we are right now. It is messy in Virginia for the Democrats right now. And I want to talk about this because this is becoming a sort of national story. This is Terry McAuliffe, the former governor of Virginia. He's one of the Clinton's guys. He was the chairman of the Democratic National Committee. And this is him. Well, it would help if I had everything rerouted properly for you guys to be able to hear him. Here we go. Do over. This is Terry McAuliffe, former governor, running for governor again in Virginia.
But we got to get Democrats out to vote. We are facing a lot of headwinds from Washington. As you know, the president is unpopular today, unfortunately, here in Virginia. So we have got to plow through.
The president is unpopular here in Virginia. He's not talking about Donald Trump. He's talking about Joe Biden. I suspect if the election were held in Virginia today, Terry McAuliffe would win. Virginia leans Democrat. The fact that Terry McAuliffe doesn't have it in the bag, though, is a pretty damning indictment on his campaign and Joe Biden's popularity. And frankly, it has way more to do with Joe Biden than Terry McAuliffe. Glenn Youngkin may very well pull this off. Emerson College polling has Glenn Youngkin in Virginia leading among Hispanic voters 55-45. Now, here's something you need to know. Emerson polling is actually pretty terrible polling. It's not a good poll, Emerson. But the McAuliffe campaign and the Democrats in Virginia are pulling out all the stops for Hispanic voters. They're going to the mats. They have suddenly unleashed a hard push for Hispanic voters, something they had not been doing for some time in Virginia. They're suddenly doing it. They're doing everything they can to get Hispanic voters. They're running specialized ad campaigns in ways they had not been doing. They have amped up their spending in Hispanic radio stations. That suggests the Democrats' internal polling in Virginia is showing them what Emerson College is showing us, that Hispanic voters in Virginia have drifted toward the GOP. They have drifted toward Glenn Youngkin. That's pretty bad. Additionally, the race in Virginia is going to be fought in the suburbs. The urban areas will go with Terry McAuliffe. The rural areas will go with Glenn Youngkin. The suburban areas are split, but they're split leaning Youngkin because of education issues. It's not a surprise at the end of the Virginia gubernatorial race, the federal government has gotten involved sending out the FBI to harass parents who show up at school boards to complain about critical theory and COVID shutdowns and masks. This is a pretty big problem for the Democrats, and, you know, the Virginia Republicans could do well in state legislative races, which will complicate Democrat redistricting efforts in Virginia, although they've got a nonpartisan commission in Virginia that is in itself going to complicate Democratic redistricting. Let's just put a little bow on this. Joe Biden sucks. And that's not me saying it. The Democrats themselves are saying it. And that's a problem for the Democrats. I mentioned this in the last hour. Do you know where Joe Biden polls among Democrats right now? In a lot of, not all polls, but in a lot of polls. 75% approval. Donald Trump had better approval among Republicans who hated Donald Trump. Donald Trump had better approval among Republicans who hated Donald Trump than Joe Biden has among Democrats who like Joe Biden. And that's the most remarkable part of it, is that these Democrats who don't like Joe Biden's job approval like Joe Biden. And they still aren't fans of Joe Biden's policies. Now, here's what the Democrats want to hang their hat on, and this is the spin that the Democrats are giving right now, is that, oh, wait a second. They actually like the policies. They like the reconciliation package. They like the infrastructure package. They like what Joe Biden is doing, but that's not true. Yes, you ask a voter, do you think the Democrats' $3 trillion plan is a good idea? Oh, yes, because I'm going to get the money. But then you ask them about the individual items in it, and a lot of it they don't like. Voters are stupid. I'm sorry if that offends you if you're a voter, but voters are stupid. People are stupid, and people are voters. People are stupid, so voters are stupid. Individually, you may be a genius. Collectively, you're stupid. We all are, collectively. I'm not exempting myself from these damning indictments. The reality is this. Voters have no idea what the hell is going on in Washington, D.C. You ask voters for their policy prescriptions and what they think about stuff, they hear it and it sounds like, oh, it's going to get me money. I must like it. You dig in and suddenly they don't like it. Voters love the idea of universal health care until you tell them the government that runs the post office and the DMV is going to be the government that runs health care. They turn on it very quickly. The media has a terrible way of polling people about issues because people tend to not be paying attention to it. When's your birthday? I bet all of us can answer. When's your anniversary? Slowly but surely, the pool of people who can answer that question goes down. When's your child's birthday? Even fewer people can answer that. How are the Democrats going to pay for their health care plan? Number shrinks real fast, doesn't it? Because you're not paying attention to it. Half of you yell at your kid and you call your kid by your other kid's name. You really think you're going to be able to truthfully tell a pollster that you like or dislike someone's policy prescription in Washington, D.C.? No, of course you're not. And so the Democrats, they grab hold of this. They say, look, when people are polled, they love the Democrats. Why don't they love Joe Biden? Why don't they love the Democrats? The polling is pretty damning for the Democrats right now. People do not like the Democrats. Now, why? Here's what you need to know here. the reason they don't like the Democrats right now really actually, believe it or not, doesn't have a lot to do with reconciliation or infrastructure or their policy prescriptions or their plans or what they want to do, their hopes, desires, and dreams for you and me. It has to do with this. Things haven't gotten better. Things aren't better. Your gas prices are going up. You don't have the money for a Tesla, and your gas prices are going up. The bills at your grocery store, they're getting higher. COVID hasn't gone away. You still have to wear that damn mask. You want to take a flight? Now the Democrats want you to carry around a vaccine card to be able to get on a plane. Things haven't gotten better. Joe Biden and the Democrats said, if you put us in charge, things will get better. And things have not gotten better. That's why Joe Biden's approval isn't getting better. What's so interesting, if you look at the Real Clear Politics polling average, is Joe Biden's disapproval has actually gone down. It's gone down. But the approval hasn't correspondingly gone up. A lot of people have become indifferent. He's still in negative territory. It's approved 45.3, disapproved 48. A lot of people have just become indifferent. They've given up. They feel like the Democrats have given up. They're not making measurable improvements in the lives of Americans. That's why the Democrats are rushing this package, but yet they won't put the debt ceiling in it. And the Democrats can't agree on the terms. They're worried about inflation. Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, she believes that inflation is going to be around longer than they thought. She still thinks it's transitory. It's going to be around longer than they thought. Joe Biden is trying to sell his $3.5 trillion tax hike as a tax cut. And meanwhile, everyone knows he screwed up Afghanistan and he won't apologize for it. And no one's lost their job over it. The Biden administration doesn't seem more competent than the Trump administration. And the whole selling point for the Biden administration was competence. It was that they could do things the Trump administration wasn't capable of doing because the Trump administration kept tripping over their own feet. And they're tripping over their feet. He can't close the deal in Congress. He can't close the deal with the public. And so the bottom line is that even Democrats who like Joe Biden are starting to say, maybe he's not up for the job. And independent voters are saying that. Of course, Republican voters are always going to hate him. Who cares what Republican voters think? Democrats and independents are starting to say, maybe he's not up for the job. Independent voters in particular, Hispanic voters for real are saying, I don't think I'm a Democrat. If they lose Hispanics, the Hispanic voting bloc is the fastest growing voting bloc in the country. And the Democrats are on the verge of losing that voting bloc. They tried to play it as an identity politics voting bloc, and the Hispanic voters got pissed off because they're an American voting bloc. They're not an identity politics voting bloc. And they fled countries with socialism to come to this country at a time the Democrats are trying to embrace socialism. It seems like the Democrats have forgotten how to govern, and it's having measurable real-world impacts in places like Virginia, where Hispanic voters are trending Republican and suburban voters are trending Republican at a time Virginia suburban voters aren't supposed to be trending Republican but supposed to be locking in for the Democrats. And if the suburban voters of Virginia are drifting away, going back to the GOP, what about the suburban voters in Georgia? What about the suburban voters in Ohio? What about the suburban voters in Wisconsin? What about the suburban voters in Florida? What about the suburban voters in Texas? What about the suburban voters across the nation? If they're going to the GOP in Virginia, that's crisis level warning for the Democrats nationwide. And that's why they're desperate to pull off reconciliation, because they really think it'll help draw those voters back to them. And the data shows it won't. And they don't know what to do about it. This is an existential threat for the Democrats at this point. And anything they do is probably going to overplay their hand and hurt them even more. The way we use the internet, well, it's changed over the last decade. Security tools have mostly stayed the same. Aura provides complete digital security to help protect your online accounts, finances, devices, and so much more in an easy-to-use app. Most credit card companies do a good job of protecting you against fraudulent purchases. But what if a scammer files for unemployment in your name, or if your social media account's hacked? Aura's protection goes beyond your credit card. Between your photos, your finances, your devices, your connections, your world's more online than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Aura can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. They provide digital security protection. They keep your online finances, your personal information, and your technology safe from online threats. It's all-in-one protection for identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, so much more. With Aura, you'll get notified to fraud and threats fast. If your online accounts, your passwords are leaked online, someone, you're going to be told by Aura. Like a lot of people, they won't tell you. Aura is easy to set up. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. For a limited time, Aura is offering you guys 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You go to aura.com/Eric, again, E-R-I-C-K. You get complete protection. You get savings of up to 40%. That's aura.com/Eric, aura.com/E-R-I-C-K. Hello there. Yes, you can call in and be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425, if you wish to be a part of the program. Now, can I talk about Australia for a moment? This is so disappointing to me. This is Laura Turner. She is a Nine News Australia. I think this is in Queensland. Talking about the new technology about to be deployed.
Today, the call has gone out to everyone in home quarantine in Victoria to take part of our pilot program. And what that means is that they will receive random phone calls and they have to answer within 5 minutes with a selfie sent to this app, which will then geo-track where that person is and to make sure that they are who they say they are as well. If they don't answer within that 5 minute period, that's when health officers come knocking. Pete,
do you have this? This is in Victoria, in Australia. You have to have an app on your cell phone. You are encouraged to put this app on your cell phone. This app will trigger a phone call. If you don't answer within 5 minutes, police officers will show up. If you do answer, you have to give a selfie submitted back to this app that geocodes it to show where you are. Australia, in fighting COVID, has decided to become a police state. And keep in mind, the Conservatives are in charge of Australia. And Americans are looking at this like, what is happening in Australia? This is unacceptable. But you know what you don't see in Australia? Mass protest. There is, to be sure, protest. But overwhelmingly, the people in Australia are supporting this. A people cannot be a thriving independent population when the people themselves are willing to give up to the state. And that's happening in Australia. It's kind of crazy. A penal colony has given up. The prisoners are now allowing the state to keep them imprisoned, but it is by choice. Stop lamenting what has happened in Australia. The Australian people themselves have decided to go along with this. And by the way, this is happening in parts of this country, in progressive enclaves. You think of Australia as some sort of conservative place, and in ways it is. You know, the Australians threw out a government or rejected the entrance of a government over climate change taxes. The Australians, they like to drink beer. They like to have barbecues. You got cowboys. Yes, but it's not the same as here. The Australians willingly surrendered all of their guns, and now the state is in charge of them. Australia, it's not that Australia has fallen. It's not that Australia has become a police state. It's that you are now seeing what Australia already was. Wonderful, wonderful people. But their spirit is broken and has been for some time. And now you're starting to see it. And it's sad to see that countries would allow themselves to do this, but they've had a choice and they've chosen. It's their choice. You may disagree, but that's what it is. Americans continue to navigate through multiple crises this year. We the People, a Bradley speaker series, offers insights and ideas on the current challenges we face from some remarkable organizations the Bradley Foundation supports. Visit bradleyfdn.org/liberty to watch their most recent episode. It features Stephen Suckup, author of The Dictatorship of Woke Capital, How Political Correctness Captured Big Business, an Encounter Books publication. In the episode, Suckup discusses the left's gradual takeover of corporate America and why the free market hasn't been able to prevent it, the dangerous impact of shareholder activism, and efforts to push back on it. That's Bradley with an L-E-Y at the end, fdn.org/liberty to watch the video. New episodes debut weekly. Go back often, subscribe to their YouTube channel to be notified when a new episode is posted. That's bradleyfdn.org/liberty. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, should you wish to be a part of the program, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. So yesterday I talked about a potential breakup of the country, a national divorce. A friend of mine who I referenced there actually put some thoughts down on paper a couple of years ago. And I want to share with you his thoughts. Because, so here's why. You know what? Let me put this down and record it for posterity's purposes here. I am concerned a little bit. Well, I don't want to say this because I got friends of mine and they're going to feel like I'm insulting them, and I don't mean to insult them. So let me just say I'm not trying to insult people, even though it may sound like I am. I have a hard time sometimes where I don't want to insult people, but it sounds like I'm insulting them, and sometimes you just got to roll with it. There is this phenomenon of people on social media now, and they define themselves by their social media antics and their connections through social media, and they perform for each other. And you see this on the left and the right. I see it more on the right than the left because I follow people on the right, and I call it this bro conservative movement of that they come across as very pompous and very self-assured, and they know things. They drink and they know things, to quote what's his name from Game of Thrones. And they know that if the country were to break apart, you know, the conservatives, they would dominate, they would crush it. Might as well go on and have that civil war, folks, because the conservatives have all the guns, got all the military training, know how to live off the land, and they would dominate. Let's just break it apart. And if the Democrats want to fight, let's just have a fight. And you get this on social media, the faux braggadociousness of a certain subset of conservative guys, the post-Christian right, who are very in your face, very brash. They want to bully even conservatives who don't see eye to eye with them. Forget all the Christian goodness and grace in the world. I mean, this is an existential fight. We got to fight the left, and we're going to win if we fight them. And you know what? We should take over the government and impose our values on the left, just like the left has done on us. But you know what? Here's the reality. There are more of them than there are of us. I laugh at the guys who are, they've kind of, you know, the problem with the Democrats winning in America is that the Democrats have kind of embraced Twitter, and they feed off of Twitter, and what happens in Twitter must therefore be real life. And so often Twitter isn't real life. And now there's this group of conservatives doing the same freaking thing. They see what's happened on Twitter, and all of my friends agree with me. Therefore, everyone must. And Republicans are going to start screwing up and losing because they are in the circle of jerks on Twitter, just like the left has been, going blind in the bathroom together. They can't see their way out of the mess they've created for themselves. This friend of mine wrote this in 2018, and I want to read you some of this because it's very prescient for these conversations about the great divorce now and breaking up the country. And yes, for those of you who get mad at me who say I read sometimes too much, yeah, I'm absolutely going to read this because you need to digest these thoughts from a friend who will go nameless, but who's on the money here. Keep in mind, this was written in 2018 now. There's a lot of loose talk in the past few months about civic violence in America, and even the possibility of some sort of civic strife that veers through the precipice of real war. I'm concerned about it myself, and the forces tending toward it will only gather momentum. But that doesn't mean the open speculation is wise. Assuming the division in a real civil conflict follows the contours of our present politics, all the structural advantages are actually on the left's side. Now, I know if you're reading this and you're conservative, you think that, well, we got all the guns, we got all the ammo, we hunt, we live off the land, we'll be fine. Listen to this. The center of mass of the American population is in cities. More than 4 of 5 Americans live in an urban environment, and increasingly urbanization correlates directly to leftward votes. Every major city, every one, is a stronghold of millions for the center-left side of the conflict. A contest of city versus countryside is generally only won by the latter if it possesses sufficient population. The model for this would be the Chinese Civil War, where an activated peasantry overcame the great cities. With non-urban residency in the United States under 20% of the whole, a more apt model would be the Russian Civil War, which was effectively a successful war of cities upon countryside. The French Revolution followed a similar pattern. People who understand very little about operations and strategy like to hold up those voting maps with blue dots in red seas without grasping that those blue dots harbor sufficient population to utterly overrun the Red Sea by a margin of 2-1 and still have plenty in reserve. You have to assume that nearly the entirety of all non-white population, African, Asian American, and to some degree Hispanic, depending on community, will align with the center left. Right away, that's a population cohort of 25% of the total loss to the center-right size. It's not comparable. Not even the fabled non-college-educated whites of 2016 have that population. We know pretty well what it takes from a strategic perspective to hold North America. The grand strategy problem has not changed since the wars of the 18th and 19th centuries. You want to control the Great Lakes and Mississippi basins, with the adjuncts of the Mississippi and the Hudson especially useful. Once done, the problem is largely one of completed encirclement and conquest or strangulation. Well, look what you got along those thoroughfares. Major urban centers on the Mississippi, New Orleans, Memphis, St. Louis. On the Hudson, you got New York City. On the Great Lakes, Detroit and Chicago. Everyone is a civil crisis that, in a civil crisis, would generate entire armies for the center left. California is a self-sustained island of immense productive power, capable of feeding and arming itself indefinitely, and especially difficult to attack absent full sea control, in addition to prodigious logistical capacity on the landward side to come over the mountains. It would be a nearly impregnable redoubt for the center left. Contrast that with Texas. Everybody says Texas. Texas is such a big conservative stronghold. Well, yeah, but it's open to invasion from every direction, and their major cities are already lost to the left. The bulk of the United States Armed Forces will follow the orders of whichever it perceives as the lawful authority. It'll have very little to no enthusiasm for any sort of undertaking. A minority will sort out according to the contours of the general population. The vast pool of tens of millions of military-aged males in the United States are millennials, or whatever we call the post-millennials, Gen Z, I guess. They skew to the left and will support the center left. Foreign governments will almost certainly lend assistance to the center left. The center right side will lose most legal trade around the world. The organized left has in the past decade developed a remarkably able ability to mobilize at short notice hundreds of thousands of people and deploy them in the seizure of urban centers across the country. This is the operational goal of Occupy, of the Women's March, of BLM, of Antifa. The capacity exists nowhere on the right. You get the picture. Yet it's all common to speak with conservatives who believe that if it came to a fight, we'd clean up, usually on the grounds that our people own more guns and have more spirit. It reminds one of nothing so much as the conversation in the study at the opening of Gone with the Wind, in which Rhett Butler tells the fellow Southerners a truth they didn't want to hear. I'm saying very plainly that the Yankees are better equipped than we. They've got factories, shipyards, coal mines, and a fleet to bottle up our harbors and starve us to death. All we've got is cotton, slaves, and arrogance. Therefore, stop talking about a fight. There's no way out of the present crisis of our society except persuasion, institutions, and prayer. We're bound to live together, and if we ever decide we cannot, we will find there's no escape. It's not just that true civil strife is at once savage and stupid, though it is both. It's that the right's probably going to lose, even as the right thinks it's going to win. He's not wrong. There is this movement in American politics on the right today, the post-Christian right, to be as nasty as the left, to show as little grace as the left shows. Their ways have to become our ways if we're going to win. Actually, the left lost a great deal in 2020. They may have won the presidency, but that's about it. The Republicans lost themselves, the Senate. The Democrats thought they were going to have a blue wave expand their House majority. They nearly lost it. Half a dozen seats stand between the Democrats and the minority. Republicans won state legislatures. They won governor's mansions they were supposed to lose. Why? Because the public did not like the nastiness. So why Donald Trump lost? It wasn't stolen. Voters turned on him. I can't tell you the number of voters I know who voted for Joe Biden and then the Republican senators in Georgia. A lot of the people who think that Donald Trump must have had it stolen in Georgia say, but look what happened to the Republican senators. They won. Clearly, Donald Trump would win. Nobody votes straight ticket. Very few people vote straight ticket. And I know a lot of people who voted Joe Biden and then voted David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Voters rejected Donald Trump because they didn't like his mean tweets. And you can say that's ridiculous, but that's why voters rejected him. And for the Republicans to hit on a strategy of let's do our own mean tweets, they're just going to lose. Right now, Joe Biden is the greatest gift to their GOP. Joe Biden is persuading Hispanic voters they're Republicans. Joe Biden is persuading suburban voters they made a mistake. They should have gone with Trump. Joe Biden is persuading young, white, college-educated people that they have no future in the Democratic Party. And Joe Biden is persuading young black men better Donald Trump than Kamala Harris. And yet there is a cohort of Republicans who have decided that they want to be as mean and nasty as the Democrats, that they want to bully, that they want to use the power of Washington to impose conservative values on the nation, just as they perceive the left has done. Here's the reality. We live in a fallen world, and we're headed towards more worldliness. And the days are coming when conservatives, particularly conservatives of faith, will be the not only distinct minority, but the put-upon minority. And the more you decide to put upon the left by using the tools of government, the more they're going to do it to you. The time will come when you will no longer be allowed to even think that you're in the majority because there will be no deluding yourself. And by the way, if you're a person of faith, you're going to be a minority of the GOP as well. You will not be a dominant party. You will not be a dominant group in this country. If you're of faith, the world hates the things of God and the world hates you. And the worldliness of the world is going to crowd out the things of God until the very last day. Now, don't worry about it because you're on the winning team. You win in the end. I've read the end of the book. It's Johnny Cash singing backup music to a pale horse riding through. You're winning, but it's not going to feel like it for a while. And you make it worse on yourselves by embracing the arrogance of the secularists. And so many people on the right have decided to do that. They're going to embrace the arrogance, the rudeness, the intolerance, and the hostility of the secularists. And they're going to try to impose their way on them. I got to tell you, there's more of them than there are of you. I am more convinced of this today. It's not a losing philosophy. It is a realism. And you convince the other side to leave you alone by showing them you're not like them. You heap burning coals on their head, to quote scripture, by feeding them and being nice to them in ways they aren't to you. And they tend to leave you alone. But if you're saber rattling and deciding, you know what, let's just break it apart. Let's have the great divorce. Let us split it up and fight. They control the cities. They control the ports. They control the industries. They control the trade routes. Good luck with that. The people who think they would most assuredly win are the people who can be braggadocious on social media and have never had to put a real thought on paper to be able to navigate their way through the mess they want to create. Don't create the mess. Persuade. And you know what? Love your neighbor. Maybe instead of fixating on dividing up the country, maybe try to unite your local community, because that's where you're going to find your welfare. So maybe stop wringing your hands over a great divorce, because it's not going to happen. And if it happened, it would not be in your favor if you're conservative. Now, while you are helping your local community, you can help the conservative movement. One of the ways to help the conservative movement is to do business with conservatives. That's why I recommend you do business with Patriot Mobile. They are a cell phone provider. They can do your data and your voice. They give money to the conservative cause. They're going to give, I think somebody told me at Patriot Mobile, over $500,000 to the conservative cause this year. They've got projections for next year of over $1 million to fund conservative causes like pro-life causes, Second Amendment causes, veterans and first responder causes. The left's been doing this for years. It's nice the right has finally caught on with a company like Patriot Mobile. They're a great cell phone carrier. They got great coverage. You can check them out at patriotmobile.com. You can see for yourself, their coverage is great. In rural parts of the country, in urban parts of the country, and all the points in between, you can get data, you can get cell service, you can port over your phone number. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service. You can call them. You're calling someone in the U.S. who will help you. What you do is you go to patriotmobile.com/Eric. That's patriotmobile.com/ERIC. They will give you free activation by using my name. You can also call them, 972-PATRIOT. Tell them I sent you. You'll get great coverage with a great company that shares your values. One of my great frustrations in life these days is the unhealthy level of skepticism. You know, it's good to be skeptical of things. It's good to ask questions. It's good not to take people at face value. But at some point, people have an unhealthy level of skepticism to the fact that they can't be persuaded that they are wrong. There is nothing that can be said to them that will persuade. Now, they claim to be open to it, but you and I and they know deep down, not really. And the level of skepticism towards science, and it's kind of become follow the money at all costs. You know, you don't always have to follow the money, and sometimes following the money doesn't actually provide you the answer. All the President's Men was written, the book about the Woodward Bernstein investigation into Watergate, the line follow the money was not in there. It was incorporated by Hollywood into the movie. And now everyone says, oh, just follow the money. The reason we are where we are is because Pfizer and the pharmaceutical companies, we can't cure cancer because follow the money. The pharmaceutical companies, no, you idiot, no. Sometimes it's more complicated than that. Sometimes life is simpler than we think, and sometimes life is more complicated. And what I have found in my years of life is that oftentimes the conspiracy theorists among us want to complicate the simple and simplify the complicated. And it's the way their brain works. Their brain is wired to try to simplify complex things, to make it understandable for themselves, or to complicate the simple things because their brain suggests there must be a more complicated explanation. And so science and the vaccines and all that and COVID, everything's more complicated. My goodness, the amount of people who have no understanding of statistics, who aren't actually smart enough, and I don't mean this pejoratively, but they aren't smart enough to know that they don't know enough to understand the statistics they're citing, is remarkable. Everybody has access to data, and everybody thinks they're smart. And so they process stuff in ways that really they shouldn't be processing. And they're winding up lying to themselves and believing stuff that's not true. And so they're disparaging the pharmaceutical companies who for years, conservatives in particular, had their back because the Democrats were out to get them. But now, because they've come up with the COVID vaccine, and oh my gosh, didn't you hear someone died? Yes, people die. Sometimes people die. I'm sorry. Sometimes the COVID vaccine has caused problems for people. It's true. And the response to the government downplaying that is to overplay it. But in Africa, after 100 years, pharmaceutical companies have finally come up with a vaccine for malaria. And we should champion this news. This is a worldwide breakthrough and success that the scourge of malaria that has plagued the third world and particularly African countries for years may come to an end because of a 100-year search for a vaccine finally came down to mRNA. Yes, it's a good thing. Science is a good thing. Science as a religion is a bad thing. Science as a tool to improve our lives is a good thing, and this will improve people's lives. Y'all, from the moment I sat in my X chair, my body said, this is what a real office chair is supposed to be like. I had gone through office chairs, and then I got my X chair, and it is the perfect chair. In fact, my X chair, unlike your chair, can massage my back while I'm sitting doing 3 hours of talk radio. It can even heat up and cool down depending on my office, which tends to run hot in the summer and cold in the wintertime. And it's all in the LMX massage and temperature regulation exclusively designed for the X chair. And once you feel the customized support of X chair's patented dynamic lumbar DVL, they call it dynamic variable lumbar, your back's going to be happy. What I need you to do, you got to go check out the X chair because yeah, I bought the, y'all know the expensive brand and I bought it. It was a good chair. It actually was a really good chair. And X Chair takes it to the next level. What you need to do is go to xchairerik.com now. That's X, the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com. Or call 844-4-X-CHAIR for $100 off your order. X Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. You can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. It's xchairerik, E-R-I-C-K.com. It is worth it.